Amen. Good to see everybody here. Welcome to Chapel Hill once again. My name is Jamal Baker, and I'm the Atlanta campus pastor. Get to lead this wonderful campus with my beautiful and lovely wife, Tamika, of only short, almost 19 years. Be 19 years in June, right? Yeah. But it was just like yesterday. Amen. Amen. And I mean that. See, some of y'all think I'm playing. I'm serious. It went by just like that. It's been a great, great opportunity to walk alongside this lady and bring these five kids into the world that have brought us closer together. They're bringing us closer to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And those with kids said, amen. 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 Oh, good. Well, we're in our Get the Most Out of It message series. And have you been enjoying this? It's been really, really good. Last week, Pastor Danny talked to us about getting the most out of our gifts. And one of the things that he talked about was God has wired each of us in a particular way. And then he said that with that wiring, what we are to do is to wrap around that wiring, serving Jesus. See, because that wrapping the serving of Jesus around that wiring, what it does, it tempers that wiring. You know, I was having a conversation with a lady earlier this week, and she was just talking about, you know, her personality. I mean, she's not quiet. She's boisterous. She's, you know, she says what comes to mind, and that's what God made her to be. She was wired that way. However, we have to take that part of us and wrap Jesus around it so that we can learn, why did I make you that way? I made you that way for a purpose. So that wrapping Jesus around it helps channel it in the right direction. And then when we do, the gifts that God has given us will be a blessing to others. Amen. So I so enjoyed that message. I've been trying to apply that this week. Let me give you just a fast forward to next week. Next week, we're going to be talking about get the most out of marriage. Get the most out of marriage. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now listen, this is going to be still a message for everybody. Because even if you aren't married, you know somebody who's married and you need to bring them to church. And even if you aren't married, you're going to be related to someone who is married, or you might have a child who one day will get married. So this is going to be a benefit to you in any and every way. God might use you to mentor someone in their marriage, even though maybe you had a bad one that ended and you're not married anymore. God will teach you something next week. So who is this message for? Everybody. Now, we're going to talk about something next week, because the Bible discusses a piece of furniture in the home. It's called the marriage bed. The temperature just went up like 5 degrees. And so, yes, we're going to have a discussion about this, and in church, we are going to talk about sex. Why are y'all going to talk about sex in church? Because they talk about it everywhere else. And actually, God is the one that invented it. And we scared to talk about it. So we are going to talk about it next week. Now, here is our commitment. This is going to be a PG-13 presentation. FYI. Disclaimer to parents. However, here's our commitment. We will only be as graphic and descriptive as the Bible is. So you let your kids read the Bible, yes, they'll be good next week. Amen? So we've got to talk about this, because there's all kinds of messages from internet to TV to movies to friends at the lunchroom table, and we need to deal with what God has to say about this very important topic. Amen? We all good? You gonna bring somebody? Yeah. Yes, amen, amen. Now, on to this week's message. And as we prepare for this week's message, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Join me. Father, we honor your presence in this place today. Lord, we honor the sharing of your word. And now, Father, over these next few minutes, as your word is preached, as your word is taught, as your word is explained, Lord, let your anointing be released upon that word. Father, I pray for every ear. I pray for every heart. I pray for every life in the room right now. Lord, I pray that you would speak, oh God. Speak to each of us in whatever way you choose. God, let every one of us walk out of this place having heard and received exactly what you sent us here to get. And Father, we thank you. Lord, I stand against every distraction. Lord, I stand against every problem, every challenge that preceded our coming into this room. Lord, we bring all of that to the altar. We bring all of that to the foot of the cross. And we say, God, be glorified in this place today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, as we talk about this week's message, getting the most out of work. You know, I mean, have you ever just said, I just wish I didn't have to go to work? Can I just hit the lotto? I just wish I didn't have to go to work. But what if instead of dreading and hating work, you surrendered your job to the Lord? And said, Lord, help me get the most out of my work. Now, for the students, don't check out because you got work too. Y'all's work is called school. I tell my kids, ain't no unemployed people in my house. You got a job. It's called school. You know? And so every time I say work, kids, just insert school. It is applicable as well. Now, for the retired people in the room, perhaps you are no longer working, but here's what I like to say. If you have a pulse, that means you got a purpose. So that means perhaps your work is done, but maybe God is using you to pour into the lives of your adult kids, or maybe he's using you to, your work is pouring into your grandkids, or perhaps your work is volunteering at the church at Chapel Hill. Shameless plug, hallelujah. But wherever you are, we have work to do. If you have a pulse, you still have a purpose and you have a work assignment from the Lord. Amen? Amen. And for the stay-home moms, I don't even have to tell you. I live with one. Look, I mean, hands going up all across the room. I know you are working. So I want you to apply everything that I say to whatever your present context is. See, this idea of dreading work is not really what God intended originally. See, work is really God's blessed idea. Let me give you some scripture to support that. Deuteronomy 5 and 13, it says, 6 days shall you labor and do your work. Proverbs 14 and 23 says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then in Genesis chapter 1, God gives Adam this opportunity to work. Verse 28 says, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then in chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 15, it says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. He put him in a garden to do what? To work it. I mean, you know, Adam was the first brother with two jobs. His first job was to rule over the animals. God gave him that job. He's the world's first zookeeper, y'all. That was his day job. And then by night, he was a gardener. And God puts him in the garden and he tends the garden. He was working. And God looked at that and said, this is good. This is a blessing. But then sin enters the picture. And every time sin enters the picture, things get complicated. Say complicated. You see, in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam has sinned and disobeyed God, God speaks to him and he says to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. You're going to work hard for what you eat until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. You see, prior to the introduction of sin into the earthly realm, work was not this sweat-filled, toil-filled, thorn and thistle-filled adventure. Work was something that the grace of God rested on Adam to do, and his work was his joy. His work was his inspiration. But when sin entered into the plane, work became dread. And here we are, we're still under this fallen world, and we still have to deal with the thorns and the thistles and the sweat and the toil and the drudgery. However, the good news of the gospel is that when the gospel comes into the picture, the gospel is all about restoration, the redemption of that which has been lost. And so when we bring the gospel into the context, the restoration power of Jesus into the context of work, then it ceases to be the toil that it is under sin. So you can wrap, if you will, your work in serving Jesus. You can wrap your work in the gospel, and that's what we're going to be talking about for the remainder of our time today. See, the gospel brings a new revelation. It brings a new grace that will empower our work if we allow the gospel to renew our minds. Tell somebody, renew your mind. Colossians 3:15 through 17. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then if you skip down several verses to Colossians verse 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So the Apostle Paul is saying here, whatever you do, whatever your job, whatever your work is, whether you love your job or whether you hate your job, it doesn't matter, because as a follower of Christ, you give it your all because you are working for Jesus. So I want to give you today four power tools from Colossians 3 that will help you get the most out of your work. Are you ready? Power tool number one. In order to get the most out of your work, power tool number one is this. Drill the word. Drill the word of God. Colossians 3:16 says this, let the message of Christ, the word, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. I brought a tool bag this morning. Babe, can you hand me my tool bag? Got a couple tools in here that I would like to share with you. The first one is a drill. So you've got to learn to drill into God's word. God's word, it is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. If you're going to get the most out of your work before you start work, you better learn to drill into the word in the morning. You better learn to drill down into the word to see what is in this word. I told you the first week of this series that I was purposing in my heart to memorize a verse of scripture a week. Man, the word of God is so powerful. I've been chewing on all kinds of verses of scripture. One of mine has been Psalm 32 and verse 8. And it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my loving eye upon you. Another one that I memorized is Isaiah 41 and 13. And it says, I am the Lord your God who takes you by your right hand and says to you, I will help you. And then I've been chewing on this Psalm 42 and verse 11. And he poses this question. He says, oh, my soul, why are you so downcast? Why are you disturbed within? And then he says, put your hope in God. And then he says, I will praise my God, who is my Lord and my Savior. Man, I started drilling down into that scripture. I said, wait a minute. When I start reading that, when I start digging into that, the writer of the psalm, do you know what he's doing? He's talking to himself. He questions himself. He says, oh, my soul, why are you, some versions say downcast, some say in anguish. Why are you in anguish? And he speaks to his soul and he says, soul, I don't know why you're in anguish. I don't know why you are downcast. Let me tell you what to do, soul. Put your hope in God. And not only that, not only put your hope in God, but give God praise because he is our God and he is our Savior. Listen, you need to learn how to talk to yourself. You got to learn how to talk to yourself. I'm sitting here looking at the guy and I'm saying, wait a minute. He is having a conversation with himself. Because his soul is in anguish. And some of you have come in here and your souls are in anguish. And you have not been having the right conversations with yourself. What are you saying to yourself about yourself? You need to learn how to speak to yourself about yourself so that yourself can know what yourself should be thinking and what yourself should be saying and what yourself should be doing. You got to learn how to talk to yourself. Man, do you know yourself can be crazy? I mean, is it just me? I mean, some of the crazy stuff that goes through my mind, some of the crazy choices that I think about making, some of the crazy stuff that I think about saying. But man, when you start to drill down into the word will teach you some things. It begins to show you, man, I'm learning to talk to myself and to tell myself the truth because sometimes myself doesn't tell me the truth. And I have to reach into God's word and say, wait a minute. I know that's what I'm thinking. I know that's what I feel. But what is true? Oh, wait a minute. Why am I downcast? Why am I in anguish? What did you say I'm supposed to do? Boy, put your hope in God. Now come join me, self, as we praise him together. You got to learn how to drill into. I think my battery is my battery gone? What's the, I'm losing papers in my Bible. That means I use it. I'd rather my Bible be jacked up than my life. All right, let me keep going. But see, when you spend time drilling down into God's word and letting his word speak to you and renew your mind, it will empower you. Listen, it will cause you to step into work with a different attitude. It will cause your thoughts to be renewed as you step into this environment when you sit down in the cubicle beside you know who he is. When you get on the elevator with you know who she is. And the word has regulated your mind, and you go into that meeting with you know who they are. That your mind will be speaking to you concerning the things that are true, and it will impact your work environment. It will raise your level of wisdom, raise your level of grace, raise your level of excellence in the workplace because you have drilled into the word. Somebody say, drill into the word. Amen. Power tool number two, touch up your heart. Touch up your heart. See, to get the most out of your work, you better learn to touch up your heart before you get there. Colossians 3:16 says, these are some ways you can touch up your heart through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. I brought another tool to help illustrate this. Got a little paintbrush here. See, we've got to learn that sometimes our hearts, as we navigate through life and we are interacting with people, our hearts start to get smudges on them. Just like those freshly painted walls in my house that were painted this week, not even a whole week, and they already got smudges. I mean, I walk out into the hall, whose handprint is this on the wall? And we just painted 10 minutes ago. Who is this? Because this is what happens to us as we navigate through life and we interact with people. They little grubby fingers get all over our hearts with their attitudes and their words and their behaviors. And I mean, they start to smudge our hearts. And we begin to wake up and go, man, how did all those smudges get on me? But you got to learn to touch up your heart. I remember just this, it was several days ago. And man, I had one of these challenging, all these challenges at work and challenges with this not working out the way it's supposed to work out and then trying to manage all of the family stuff and all these things and it's just people. It's lots of people, just people. It's people. It's just lots of people. And then I remember getting up and I had had my time in the word but then I was sitting in the car and I was like, man, I still don't quite have enough yet. Like I'm not quite. I drilled into the word, but I'm still not quite there. And I got this stuff going on, and I'm trying to get myself together. And then I began to sing this song that came on the radio. And this song talked about the resurrection power of Jesus. But they didn't relegate it to the experience of Easter. They talked about the resurrection power of Jesus inside of the one who calls on him as their Lord and Savior, and that same resurrection power that raised him up from the dead in the midst of sin, in the midst of difficulty, that resurrection power is down on the inside of us, and it will raise us up beyond our challenges, beyond our difficulties. You know what I started doing? I started singing that song. And I started touching up my heart. I mean, I dipped that brush into that song and I said, resurrection power, I need some of that up on me today. Resurrection power that causes me to rise above adversity. And I began to sing that song and touch up my heart. And before I knew it, the smudges were washing away and I couldn't even see what was beneath there. Next thing I know, I take a deep sniff. Woo! Fresh paint. Clean room. Clean heart. I mean, the walls of my heart were pristine again. They were looking good. Man, I kicked that driver's side door open, and I stepped out into the day, and I said, bring it. Bring it. Got my paintbrush. Bring it. Amen? But you got to learn how to touch up your heart because you don't live in a clean world. And all we have to operate with is broken people just like us. We live in the house with them. We work with them. And oh, by the way, we put smudges on other people too. Hallelujah. It's not just what we receive, it's also what we dish out. Amen? But you got to learn to touch up your heart by giving God praise, by singing songs. And it says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Pray in the spirit. Listen, you know, Jay-Z might not be able to do this for you. Now, I'm being nice. It's not might not. Jay-Z can't do this. He might entertain you. But I love what Felice said. There's another Jay. That when he is introduced into the atmosphere, like, it has to change. And so I just want to encourage you. You might just want to be careful how much attention you give to some of them. And you need to make sure. Listen, I'm not prohibiting secular music. Let the Lord speak to you. I know what I can do, and I know what I cannot do. But you need to learn to expose yourself to the presence of God, the Spirit of God in song so that your heart can be touched up. Let me keep going. Power tool number three. It's God's pen. God's pen. Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So to illustrate this point, I have an ink pen. Do you ever have to sign off on things at work? You know, frequently, my team, my staff, they bring me these documents that I have to sign off on, and usually it has to do with money. They want me to sign it so that when they present it, they can say, I present this in the name of my boss, Jamal Baker. He approves. So sometimes we have these things at work that we have to sign off on too. There's a project that's been given to us. There's a business deal, Dante, that you just entered into. And Windrail, there's a load that you have to drop with your truck. And they expect it to be in a certain condition, or they expect you, Dante, to present your product in a certain way. But here's something that we need to learn to do before we sign off on whatever it is we're doing. We need to ask a question. Would Jesus sign his name to what I'm about to hand over? Would Jesus endorse this work assignment that I am presenting? Would Jesus endorse this quiz, students, that you're about to turn in? Would Jesus endorse that project that has been due for the last 6 months, but you put 3 hours?